Okay, so we begin Rish Hayandal. So Rish Hayandal talks about the actual starting of the writing of the Sefer Torah. So the tour begins by saying, Tzarech sheyomar ha-sofer kishemascha lichtov sefer zeh nikosi l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah. That the sofer is supposed to say, when he begins writing, this is for the purpose of kedusha Sefer Torah, u'maspik l'chol ha-sefer, and that's actually sufficient for the entire sefer. V'im lo asa kein pasul. If he doesn't do that, so then he would be puzzled. Now, there's not much mentioned here about, like, for the day, for the afternoon, for the sitting time, if he goes to the bathroom in the middle, where's the hefsik? I don't know. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say much more than that. I believe the minhag is to say that every time they sit down to write. Now, there is an additional thing, which the Beis Yosef here points out, that will be later on, with what comes to writing the Shem Hashem, that every time you come to writing the Shem Hashem, so that has its own special requirements, which we'll get to. So anyways, if you take a look in the Beis Yosef here, so the Beis Yosef here, quote, this is in the Rush, in his Hilchos Sefer Torah, Gabi Ibud Lishma, where it talks about the Ibud Lishma, which we spent some time a couple weeks ago talking about. That's the tanning of the leather, so that has to be Lishma, and we talked about, right, that was whether the salting has to be Lishma, or where the salting takes place, and perhaps whether a Jew has to do the salting or not the salting, and whether you use machinery or not machinery. So all that was discussed a couple of weeks ago. So, and that's really all the Gemara says, is that the Ibud has to be Lishma. But Rabbeinu Baruch, who's one of the Rishonim, Nistapik im tzarech lahotzi b'sfasav ilo. It says, with regards to Ibud Lishma, the question was, do you actually have to say it with your mouth, L'shem Sefer Torah, or is it enough b'machshava? Is it enough to just have it in your mind? V'chasev, and he writes, Hilkach tovu lahotzi b'sfasav v'tchila se'ibud v'su lo tzarach. It's good to have it, to say it when you begin to do the Ibud, and you don't need any more. V'chein k'shemas chalitov. Similarly, when you write a Sefer Torah, Yomer Sefer Torah zeh nikosi l'shem kedushas Torah Moshe, v'su lo tzarach. And more than that, you don't need. On the b'shas k'sivas haskaros, tzarach sheyachshu l'shem kedushas Hashem. That when you get up to actually mentioning the Shem Hashem, so then it's going to have the own things that you're going to add, that says l'shem for the purpose of kedushas Hashem. Fine. Basically, it continues on and says, Rabbeinu lo kasav kan ela mashe tzarech lor b'tchilas k'sivas Sefer Torah. He only says we have to write in the beginning. He said, and it's Rei Shayin Vav, it talks about writing the names. V'chein kasav smag she tzarech lichtavo l'shmo k'darminu b'asholeh for Shem Gamliel ibud l'shmo bay k'tiva l'shmo lo bay abitmiya. And there the Gemara comments, Rei Shayin Gamliel says, really, ibud l'shmo, how do you know you actually need it? The Gemara doesn't actually say it ever clearly, but there the Gemara has a language where Shem Gamliel is saying, really, you need ibud l'shmo and you don't need k'siva l'shmo? Implying that you would need to have k'siva l'shma, meaning you can't have a non-Jew write a Sefer Torah, you can't have a monkey write a Sefer Torah, right? It needs to be somebody that is able to have das for the mitzvah. You should say it out loud. Sheyichtov achol l'shem Torah Yisrael v'askar shelo l'shem kedusha ki shema ein dai b'machshav. Maybe it's not enough to have the thought. Fine. However, and this is what, you know, so this is not just, but this is with all time things that we do when it comes to writing any stam, Sefer Torah, mezuzahs, tefillin, and painting as well. So you're supposed to say every time, in fact, it even says on the tefillin paint bottles, when you get those little, the blackout tefillin paint things. So it says on it until it gets rubbed out from sitting in your tefillin bag for a couple of years, right? At one point, when it's new, it says on it, Tzarech sheyomar l'shem kedushas tefillin, or l'shem kedusha, whatever it is you're doing. So that's what you're supposed to do. In fact, when you go to a conclusion of a Sefer Torah, so usually the few that I've been at, so the sofer puts a sheet at the top that you're supposed to read off, L'shem Kedushas K'siva Sefer Torah. So Umiyu, however, the Beis Yosef says, Umiyu Kasav Dil Rashi Nira the Sefer Torah Stamo L'shma Kaima. That, come on. What do you think you're doing when you're writing a Sefer Torah? What, you think you're just writing a letter to somebody? Come on, you know what's going on. V'chein kasav a Sefer Truma, v'chein kasav a Mordechai, haksiva sheyichtov hakol l'shem Torah Yisrael. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. I went back a line. Let me start again. Umiyu kasav l'rashi near the Sefer Torah stama l'shma kaima. That really is l'shma. V'mehechi tesi d'psula k'shekasav Yisrael b'stam. that from where do you see it? Like a Jew would write it without any kavana that maybe isn't good. The svaruhu mistama kevan shekosif sefer Torah likritzbo. He's writing sefer Torah to read from it, olimo to learn from it. Aval haskaros, but the name of Hashem that certainly requires that you actually say something lishman to be inu sheyichdavam l'shem kedushas Hashem v'nirali lahavi raya mehid perak habona hayatzarich lichtov Hashem v'nichschavin lichtov Yehuda. Right, that there. In Gemara and Masechta Shabbos, so it talks about the malacha of writing, so the Gemara has their discussion of what if you write the wrong thing. So one of the examples it gives is that you need to write the Shem Hashem, and you need to write the Shem Hashem, and instead you have Kavana to write Yehuda, I mean, you're supposed to write Yud, Hey, Vav, and then Hey, and instead you write, you have in mind to write Yehuda. Alma, so what does that Gemara seem to imply? That you need to have some kind of kavana in order to write the Shem of Hashem. But then the Beis Yosef concludes by saying, come on, that's not what it means. It's all that doesn't necessarily mean it's kavana for a mitzvah. It could just mean kavana, that he had in mind to write one thing and instead he ended up writing something else without specifically having that in mind. Okay, so that is the first statement in the Beis Yosef. It really is just quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There is a bit of a... Yeah, Sheldon? That's a good point. I guess not. I don't know if there is in the Shulchan Aruch itself. It says L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. Sefer Zani Kosi L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. That's the way it's written. This does come up, and I accidentally pulled my little tab out of the Sefer here. But in the Sefer Piski, because there's some connections here to the issue of Lishma does come up with regards to Sefer Torah and Mezuzos as well. So in the Sefer Piski Tshuvos on Hilchos Tfilin, it has a little bit of a discussion about this, and there it is. The idea of writing, of saying L'shem Kedusha, and he says at the end, right, the Mishnah Berurah does paskin that you need to have an amira b'peh, that you need to say it out loud, and the Kesa Sofer says, b'di'evid machshav is okay. L'maisa, we pass like most people, to be machmir, paskin kerova poskin l'hachmir kishaya rak b'machshava, v'afgam b'tikune osios ba'alma, and even when you're correcting letters themselves. He says, however, to correct it, so if you didn't say Lishma and you just did it, so to go ahead and to write over it, they say would be sufficient. So that's the way that we assume. There is a... Right, he adds in that additionally, apparently, in the footnote here, he quotes from the Divrei Yatziv, which is the Kloisenberger Revi, that nowadays, where the only time you would ever use a quill and ink is for a Sefer Torah, I mean, you're never writing like that other times, he thinks that action itself would be sufficient to count for the Lishma. And there is one. I thought I saw someplace here about at the at the parties to when the person comes up to write a Sefer Torah. So he needs to have Lishma. He has to have that in mind if he's actually writing a Sefer Torah. Often the Sefer Torah is already complete even though they haven't put it in. Oh, I know where he saw that piece. Okay, that's actually in the next sif. Okay, fine. So that's the first din, that when you do this, and really when you do anything having to do with this area of halacha, so it needs to be done, lishma. Okay, sif beis. So the Turk just says, v'tzarech sheyeh lefanav sefer acher sheyatik mimenu, she'aser lichtu afil los achas shelo minaksav. That you need to have a sefer, at least one sefer with you, that you're writing from. You can't just write it bal peh. You have to... You have to actually be writing it from another ksav. Now, the way that it's written is, you actually, like, it sounds like you need to have another Sefer Torah. Then the Beis Yosef, it says, right, this is a Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Maseches Menachos, and the Ran also says, the Mochach B'Yushamashim Kosov Shalom Min Haksav, Aser Likrospo Shalom B'Shasav Chak, that the Ran actually paskins that if somebody writes a Sefer Torah and they weren't copying out of another Sefer Torah, it's a puzzle, essentially. You're not permitted to use it. And Rabbi Manoach Kasav Dafkul Chachila Valim Aver V'Kasav Shalom Min Haksav Lo Puzzle V'Tzarchi Min Osan Parsha, a period. So that's a question about how seriously we take it, but certainly L'Chachila you need to have a Sefer Torah. Now, that's what it sounds like. Now, does he actually need a Sefer Torah, or could you just copy out of a Chumash? Or what they do nowadays is write out of a tikkun, meaning they have a sort of a copy of the way the Sefer Torah is set up, and that's what they copy out of. So I didn't see where that tradition came from, meaning one could make a case conceivably and say, no, if you're writing a Sefer Torah, you have to copy out of an actual Sefer Torah. But that no one seems to take that concept seriously. Everyone just assumes that the whole purpose is to make sure you get all the letters right and get all the letters in the right places. And so long as you have the ability to do that based on something written in front of you, that would be sufficient. So then at the end here, he has this line here. Correct. They did have chumashim. The Gemara itself talks about chumashim, not necessarily a sefer, you know, something written without kedusha sefer Torah. So, but even after that, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that you need that. So then there's one line here at the end where he says v'tzarach iyanim osan parshios shebetfilin yachol lichto b'sefer Torah shalom min haksav kevan degrisim. That tzarachian, if those partios of tefillin you need to write from a sefer Torah shalom min haksav, because you are greisen, because you are used to it. What is that talking about? So the Gemara itself, I forget if the Gemara itself made the comment or. Right here. Kevan dig, well, grison, that's the words I have. Gimel resh yud samach nun. Yeah, so in Hilchos Tfilin, it paskins there that if the partios are not shaguros befiv, so you need to write it out, mitoch haksav, based on actually, from something that is written down. So our assumption is that only if you don't know it so well. But once if you're a sofer and you sit there writing tefillin all day, right, so you write tefillin all day. So probably you know how to write it pretty well. So the assumption in Shulchan Aruch is that you don't need to be copying out of another parshia of tefillin. Now, I was in one of the suppliers that I work with, so I was in his office, and I noticed above the desk that he uses to check his mezuzah, he has a sort of a cheat sheet on top of, I forgot what the title was in Hebrew, of all the letters in a mezuzah that could be longer or shorter, like mezuzos that, you know, is it spelled with vavs or not with vavs, or, you know, like, and it's spelled differently over the course of a mezuzah. Sometimes the same word could be spelled differently. So that he has written, that's the cheat sheet that he keeps on top of his thing, right? Which line, and it's all written by line, right? Every mezuzah is pretty, 99% of mezuzahs are all written the same way, so it's all done by line, and he's got written out about which lines do you have to keep an eye out for which letters, because that letter might be supposed to be there, not so, even if it's a perfectly formed letter, it could be that it's not supposed to be there, right? So so at the end here, this the suffix of Rabbeinu Manoach, which is then quoted later in the Shach, is okay, what about the partios of tefillin when you're writing the Sefer Torah, right? So you know it pretty well, but do you can you then rely on that when you're writing it in the Sefer Torah? So that's the tzarachi, and that's the question that he leaves open. Okay, let's just stay in the Beis Yosef and knock off some of these things here. So as we turn to the next Amud here. Yeah, it does have some details about some of these. Can you read to the sofer and let him then? Okay. But anyways, Gimel and Dad. Now we actually get into the writing itself. So the Torah says, "V'yichdov ksiva na'a." You should write a nice writing, umi yusheres, and straight, tema shetehemu kefes gvil, and should be full. That it should be surrounded by gvil. So what is gvil? Gvil is the white, meaning it needs to be surrounded by parchment. So each letter needs to be surrounded by parchment. Shelo tidbak os l'chaverta, to the point that no letter will touch their neighbor. El yehi beinehem kachut hasara. Is it on? Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on. But when you move your head to the side,
you need one of these things.
On your neck, maybe.
Yeah, I'll put it in front here. Okay, so where are we here? So we can see the number you share. I don't know. Okay, how about this? Is this, if I hold it up? Okay. Okay, so the,
as long as you don't look down, it's fine.
So says the Torah. So, v'yichtov ksiva na'a miyusharis, that we should write a beautiful writing.
I think every time you go down, you lose a, maybe it's going to your computer or something.
It might, right. Right. Okay, so yeah, so maybe it's somehow got turned off. I don't know, I don't see the light on it now. It's not turning on. All right, we'll have to play. Oh no, I just saw the light. All right, let's. If you hear me, so then we'll stick with this for now. So the Torah says v'yichtov ksiva na'a miyusharis tema sh. Okay. So this is the biggest, when you open up a mezuzah, anyone of decent quality, so this is the most common problem that you're going to find, that there are letters that are connected to one another. So that's one thing that they're looking at. There should be between them a chutasar, which is a hair. There should be a hair breadth between them. V'lo yuhu mufredes harbe, but they shouldn't be too far apart. Zumizu. K'dei shelo tehei teva achas niris kishtayim. So that one letter won't look like two. V'yehei bein teva l'teva k'malei os kitano. Sorry, what did I say? One word shouldn't look like two words. And there should be between each word k'malei os kitano, the width of a small letter. You shouldn't have them too close together, because you shouldn't have the two letters look like one. And if you separate them, though, between the letters until it looks like the letter is really two words, one word is really two words, or you connect them such that it looks like one, so then it's going to be puzzle. That's going to be a problem. So this is something that comes up with certainly in mezuzahs, in Sifri Torah as well. I remember once having this issue come up in shul, and Rabbi Donny Pransky happened to be present, and I remember he calling him up for a consult on an issue along these lines of looking like of two words that seem to be too close together. So this is sort of the main issue with regards to any letter. It needs to be totally, at least the starting point of what it says in the Torah is, needs to be totally surrounded by white, by cloth. You should be able to see cloth, and the letters are not permitted to be connected together at all. So comes the Beis Yosef here. Where does he get this from? Gimel, Perek Rabbi Elazar de Mila, Hisna lefanav b'mitzvah sefer Torah, na b'kulmus, na b'labler uman. That there it mentions in Rabbi Elazar de Mila that you should do a nice job with mitzvahs. It should be a nice Sefer Torah, it should be a nice kulmus, it should be a nice scribe. And assuming that, I'm not sure if it actually means the pen itself needs to be nice, but the what comes from it that has to be nice and appropriate, etc. And umashakasiv tema perakabona uksavam shiaksivatam, that it has uksavtam, right? Ksivas tam, a full and complete writing. meaning lo yichtov alfin einin, meaning don't confuse olives and ayins. Upeirish Rashi tam shalin kehilchasa. That has to be full according to halacha. Va'afal gav de uksav tam gabi tefillin mezuzos ksiv yalfinan svarim minayu. We learn svarim. I guess we learn which svarim are supposed to be in it. And the Rush also adds in the Shuvah shim kasav aleph lamed biyachad kazeh. Right. So I remember seeing this. This still exists in some siddurim and stuff. Some older siddurim. You'll see the aleph and lamed mixed together like that letter. Eino kasher, that's not allowed, to be inum ksiva tama, because you require a full ksiva. And Mordechai kasev esof hilchus chametz, to be shim to be inum van veyu, lachen yichto ksiva gasa, shelo yehe nimchak meher, that it should be a thick writing, such that it won't be nimchak, such that it won't be erased quickly. Okay, so the Darkei Moshe here on the bottom of the page adds a few things to this. So the Darkei Moshe says, "Uva goes my mini pek beis tefillin im tzarach hasofer ludyo yochol litlo meos shalafanov." That the goes my mini makes a point, and I'm not sure why this is like stuck in all of a sudden here, but that if the sof are you allowed to take dio, take ink from one letter and put it on another letter? So he says that you're allowed to. He says, "V'kein kasev arash b'tshuva im higia sefer Torah va'od hadyo lach." If you correct the sefer Torah and the ink is still moist, hutzrach liglu ha-sefer Torah, v'natol b'kumus hadiyo shebesocha, k'di shetisyav yish maher, right? And you want to roll the sefer Torah already, right? You want to go home, and that you put on a lot of ink, so you can take some of the ink off, right, in order so that it dries faster, v'lo timchak, and don't erase it. Ha-yish b'zeh mishum achushe mitzvah, in baze beis meichush, there's no problem here. The lo dami lamadlik near chol mi near mitzvah, the hasam shuav hasheni mi near rishon. He says this isn't comparable to lighting a sort of a chol, using a candle in a shul to light a candle, a regular candle. He says it's not like that, because there you're diminishing the candle, which I'm not sure what he means by that, because you're not usually diminishing candles when you, whatever. But Yaval Hacha, Kevin Shenichleva Hateva, Inan Nicheshes Binatila Mixes Hadio. But here, you wrote the word, letter, it's not going to be diminished by the, by taking away a little bit of the ink. Okay, that's enough for Aleph. And then in Beis here, in Hilchos Tefillin, there's many more of these halachos that are explained. And then he quotes from the Trumas Hadesh in there. I should nagu raglehem bigagehem, ein ligror dahavi chok tochos. So this is a very important halacha, which applies in all stam, that if you have, when it comes to a hey and a kuf, right, simon memches, hey v'kuf, right, spelled out there, right, shenogu raglehem bigagehem. So you have a hey where the leg of the hey, right, the hey and the kuf are the two letters that have two parts to it, right, the hey and the kuf, right, and the leg of the hay. So let's say the leg of the hay touches the hay itself. So says the Trumas Hadeshen, to go and just scratch off the connection between those two things, that's not permitted. To have a chok tuchos. This is the most complicated part of Hilchus Stam, because that is considered erasing in order to form something. Right. So the halacha is that you can't just drop down some ink and then carve away the ink, and then lo and behold, the letters will be remaining. That's not allowed. That's called chotochos. That's this violation, right? It needs to be, every letter needs to be formed, needs to be created. It can't just be, I don't know, it can't just be carved away. I don't know. What? Right, it can't be formed. It can't be carved out, right? Carved away. It needs to be right. It needs to be written down. So if you have now where things get complicated though is that sometimes it will allow. I mean, if you have a connection between letters, you'd then be allowed to erase from there in order to form a letter. So figuring out what exactly the rules are of where you are allowed to erase or versus where you have to totally erase the letter and write it again. So that's going to be, that's complicated, which is more found in Hilchos Tefillin than here. What else we got here? Right, then he gets into how much of the hay you would have to erase. Yeah, and then we get to I want to just take a quick look at the end of the Dark Moshe, the bottom left-hand column. He quotes one more thing. He says, "V'kasav od mahardach," right? "Bayis echad, base echad, the dafka shelo nishtanu tsuras haos." That only if you don't change the letter, mishum hadevek, because of this connection that you made, as enu pasul mishum hadvekus, meaning to just erase a connection, that's okay, unless you actually formed a new letter by that connection. Aval inishtanu kagon beiz zainin hadvukim yachad, but if you actually changed the letter, for example, two zayins that were connected together, vinasa ches, you make a ches. In fact, looking for my cheat sheet here. I never put it back up. A ches is in the Torah is two zayins that just have a connection between the two of them. So he says, if you just have a zayin and the two zayins are connected, that's a ches, and that's a problem, right? And then to just erase the connection, you have by erasing, you have caused the ches to change into zayins, right? So that would be problematic. And in fact, in a mezuzah, that would be a psul. In mezuzah and tefillin, that would then passel it. So I actually had this case, this issue, last week by somebody. I checked somebody's mezuzahs in their house, and they were for the most part nice mezuzahs, except they had on the word al mezuzos. So it was one of the mezuzoses where there's no vav, it's spelled mem zayin zayin vav tuf, and the two zayins were connected by a very tiny strand. So I told the fellow, sorry, one of them was puzzle. Like, I'm like, it's not just it was puzzle, like it's a really annoying psul. It was a pretty nice mezuzah, but just that little connection, just having a tiny strand that you could see, meant that the word actually read al machos beisecha uvisharecha, right? And to change, and then to go back and to change that, right? So that's not doable in a mezuzah and tefillin, because mezuzah and tefillin have to be read in order. So, anyways, this exact case came up a couple of weeks ago.
Be obvious to everybody, but one Zion would be in the reverse direction.
Yeah, so not in the Sefer Torah. Let's see if I can.
If you look at page 3 of the Hananat, about the middle of the page, they show the two Zions connected to make a chess. Right?
Yes. Right. That's the way a Zion looks in a Sefer Torah. Let me see if I could get you a...
Okay, so this... But still, you have one little thingamajig going up to the left and one little thingamajig going to the right. I don't want to belabor the point.
Let me show you...
Just two Zions of a carrot between them.
Right.
Okay, I found a picture of the alphabet here. You can open it up if you want. And take a look. This isn't the clearest, but yeah, there. In Ashken, Aksav Ashur is Ches, right? You see the Vav Zayin Ches. So the Ches, the way it's supposed to be written, is clearly two Zions, right? You look at, you see there's a Zion right next to it.
But they don't have a Tagin.
Correct, right. It's two Zions without a Tagin, without the things on top. And they're just connected in that way. That's actually the halacha of a ches, right. Two zayins together. I mean, if you look at most letters are actually made up of smaller letters. That's one of the things that I realized when I learned a little bit of stam, right? Like, and that's the way they're described in halacha in the Mishnah Berurah when it talks about how you write the letters. So like a mem, for example, right? So a mem is a chaf and a vav. Right, and that's actually the way they're described in halacha. Right, the mem part, the chaf part of the mem versus the vav part of the mem. Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, I see. I have no problem with that. I mean, yeah.
Okay, so let's take a look in the.
You mentioned that some texts have, for instance, an aleph and a lamed combined, and that's clearly not Torah.
Right.
Straight up the top of the
line. Yeah, it's probably because the sofer would run out of space on top.
That's okay, or that's not okay?
It takes away from the artistic quality, But the halacha is that the top of the lama needs to be the size of a vav. In fact, that's when someone gives me lower quality mezuzahs, and like it's questionable whether it's even worth checking. The first thing I look for are the lamids, to see if the lamids have any height to them. And there's one specific lamid that I always look for that's about three lines from the bottom of a mezuzah, that because I think right on top of it is a kuf. So you could tell right away whether the sofer knew what he, I forget, I could find it, but that one. So I usually look at that letter right away and see if the sofer had any, you know, any chance to do it. But often you'll see in a mahut, it's supposed to be straight, but as long as it's a vav, it's still kosher. And I think that would be in terms of, right, the quality of it. So if one is judging, for instance, Megillahs are almost always written well, kosher to, you know, all the letters are formed well because people write the letters very large and etc. But that's often gonna, so Megillahs are most often judged for artistic quality as opposed to like kashrus hidurim, because pretty much everything goes when it comes to Megillahs. So that's going to be one of the things that could cost, you know, could push the value down or up of a Megillah, is whether the lamids are straight up or not. That's something that the mumkin will look for. So, okay, so let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So in Siman Reish Ayin Daled, so we read this already. Tzarek Shiyomar HaSofer Kishiyachil Lichtov Sefer Zeh Anikosev. The Sofer should say when he begins to write, I'm writing this for L'Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah, U'maspik L'chol HaSefer.
Sorry, what page is this on?
I think page... four.
Page four.
I think I had three pages of Beis Yosef. So yeah, so page four. Just one page of Shulchan Aruch this week. It's all on this page. Right? And then the Shach makes the point that, yeah, you got to actually say it. It's not sufficient to just think it. Beis. Tzarek Shehei Lefan of Sefer Acher. Right? So here, Sefer, I mean, it sounds like a Sefer Torah, but it could just mean, yeah, another Chumash. Sheyatik Mimenu, which you'll copy from. She'asur Lichtov Os Achas. Shalom in Aksav. You're not permitted to write even one letter, not from writing. You should state every word by mouth, kodem shiach tevena, before it is written. So this is where I saw that if you that for some reason in Piskei Teshuvah it points out that in theory, this should also be done at a Ksiva Sefer Torah ceremony, right? You should have to have everybody say the word that you're about to say. So he says in the Piskei Tshuvos, he says, yeah, but the truth is the Sefer Torah is already written, plus all you're doing is filling in the hallowed letter. So you're already it's already written and it's all fine. Except for the new way, as I discussed, I think, that when we had a Ksiva Sefer Torah finishing up at that I did at Magrim, at Magrimin sponsored at Kohelet last year. So there they left out the connections. I mean he put in the Alephs without the connections. So actually it just wrote in the connections. So there you're actually writing part of the Sefer Torah. So there it sounds like you would need to state it explicitly. And in theory you should also write it min haksav. That was the other thing that they said, right? In theory, it's a Sefer Torah. You're actually writing the letters. It should be written min haksav. It should be written from a chumash in front of you. I wasn't aware of this at that time, but one could make a case that, yeah, but it's clear what the letters have to be, so perhaps you don't need to, it's not going to be ma'akev. Okay, Gimel, yichtov ksiva na'ah, you should write it nicely, umi yusharis, and straight, tema and full, v'im kasav aleph lamed biyachad kaze eino kasher. Apparently, this must have been like a practice. People had this, I don't know, maybe like in Megillahs and stuff, they put aleph and lamed together or something, right? No good. Fine. Dalet. So tzarek shekol os tehemu kefes gvil, that every letter needs to be surrounded by gvil, me arba rucho seha, all four directions, shelo tidbak os bechaverta, that no letter should touch the one next to it. El yehibineihem kuchut hasara, there should be between them at least a chut hasara. That's why, to see that chut hasara, that's why I keep someplace around here my loop, right? That I can't find it right now. In theory, someplace on this desk is a loop that you use in order to make sure that there is a separation in the letters. Below you move Fred, this high shouldn't be too far apart. Zumizu kidei shalotehe teva achas nearest kishtaim. So that one letter doesn't, one word doesn't look like two words. V'ye bein teva l'teva kamale os katana. Between each word, there should be at least a small letter. V'lo yikrven b'yosu, shouldn't be too close together. Sh'lo yihu shtei tevos niriz ka'achat. So that looks like one. V'im shana shehirchik bein ha'osios ad shehateva niriz kishtayim. And if you made that mistake, that you separated them between the letters so that it does look like two words, o shakir, you put it too close together, ad shehniriz ka'achat, puzzle. So then it's going to be puzzle. Now, I believe... I meant to look this up. I believe we, I'm not sure, who, I forget if we would, if a mezuzah is like that, whether we would correct it or not. I forget, because you're not, this does happen regularly, especially in the middle. One of those lines in the middle has a lot of letters on it, and you're often, will be somewhat tight. I forget if you have the, right to correct this by sort of, shaving off a little bit of the ends in order to have a full, in order to make more of a space. I forget. I'll try to look that up for next week. Now, there is... Okay, so how do you know? Meaning it's telling you there should be a small the size of a small letter between them. Okay, how small? Like, how do you measure this? So you take a look at the Shach in Sif Dalet here. So the Shach says, Katav Abach, Nira, Midulo Amar Shim Lo Haya Ben Teva Leteva Kamali Os Katana Psula, Alma de eno psula elim kain shakirvum achinirim ka'achas. So therefore, that if the fact that it doesn't say that if there's no letter between them, it's going to be puzzle. So rather, it's only puzzle unless you're so close that it actually looks like one word. Meaning the idea that it has to be a letter the size of a yud or something between them, that's not true. It's all a matter of how it looks. Meaning that's really what the halacha is. So aval im eino nira, and I think it's quite, at least in my Shulchan Aruch, and if you're looking on the screen, you'll see it. I find it quite ironic that the im eino does not have a space between, right? Does not have a space there. However, there it does raise a question that is brought up in the Piskei Tshuva, which we'll get to. Of does the fact that one of the letters is a sophis letter, right? Does that perhaps alleviate the need for there to be a space between the letters, right? But it's quite ironic. They're right there, right? Im eino is one word, right? Nira ke'echad v'tinok delo chachim velo tipeish korioso k'shtei tevos k'shera, and that's the test. The test is that you bring it to a child who's neither too, too bright, but too sharp, or too tipesh, or not too bright, how they would read it. Would they read it as one letter, or one word, or two words? There's perhaps an idea also of covering up the words around it so that they don't know exactly the space of where you are, right? And that's the question of how a child, that's one of the things that we would ask, have a child identify. How do they see it? Do they see it as one letter or as two letters? One word or two words. So my kids all have experience with this. Now, Baruch Hashem, Yosef can now be one of my testers around, figuring out whether these words that are sometimes close together, whether it qualifies as one or two. And the Shach gives the flip side as well, whether one word would look like two words or not. So you would ask a child that halacha. Now the Piskei Tshuva here quotes an interesting Noda B'Yehuda, and this happens. This is something that comes up. He says, "B'Tshuva Noda B'Yehuda Tinyana Chelik Yerdeya Simin Kuf Samich Tes." So Psak B'Sefer Torah Shenimtza Ba Nekev Samuch Legogo Shel Yud. So there was a small hole that was found against the top of a letter Yud, right? So there's an easy way of fixing it, and that is you could sort of shave off under the hole. Such, right, if you just cut off the yud is generally a pretty thick top. So if you just cut off a little bit of the top, so then you'll be able to get back to having the yud be totally surrounded. Except here the yud was a shel shem havaya. It was the yud of the yud ke vav hei. Right? So therefore, you can't, you're not allowed to erase from it, Perhaps if it's totally ma'akev, maybe. But if it's not necessarily ma'akev, it's not necessarily required, so then you're not allowed to shave off from it. So that was the shaila asked for the no de Yehuda, right? What do we do about the Sefer Torah where there is a hole on top of the yud of the name of Hashem? So ba'ofen sha'alidei hanekev, right? Hazeh in hayud mukaf gvil. That because of this hole, the yud is not totally surrounded by parchment, b'makom hanekev, where the hole is. V'chasav, and he writes, dinasa nekev ze achar shekvar nichtav kahugan ein sarach shum tikun. The Noda Bihuda answers by saying, well, let's see, when did this hole come? Did the hole come after the letter was written? He says, if that's the case, you don't need to fix it at all. Just leave it as is. He says, "Vim hu suffik," and if you're not sure, imas nasa when it came, gam kin kasher. It's kasher anyways. Why? Mitam samach samach, because of a sveik sveika, because of a double doubt, right? A shema nasa achar kach. Maybe it was made after the Torah was already written. Vim tim solomer shenasa betchilas haksiva, and if you want to say that no, when you wrote it, the hole was already there. Shema halacha she'enu puzzle be'enu mukachvil. That could be that it's not puzzle when it's not totally surrounded. Rakisha nogeya ba'os acher. Unless it's actually touching another letter. It has to be right? There has to be a hole. Like, for instance, if there's a, you know, between a vav and a tuf, right? If there's a hole between the vav and the tuf such that the vav and the tuf are both touching the hole, that's when it's puzzle. But to fix it by scraping off part of the yud, that's not correct. You're not allowed to cut off any of these, even a little bit of the letter, if it's not for the purpose of fixing it. Even if it already was from the beginning, it's still difficult to permit it. So therefore, this does not require, right? Even so, it's still difficult to permit allowing it because maybe that's not the halacha. And this, so therefore, ein hagreira tzarech tikun. The scraping would not be considered a tikun.
We're talking about a real hole in the parchment.
Yeah, a hole that goes straight through. So this, this happens. I'm trying to. This was what Moshe sent. Moshe Gan sent me this a little while back, trying to tell me that you shouldn't really be checking things by scanning them because you're gonna miss the holes. Was this it? Oh no, I'm not sure this was it. Was this the one? No, maybe it was a different one. But yeah, certainly in the thinner mezuzahs, there could be holes. So Sefer Torahs are much thicker, but the modern day Sefer Torahs are not necessarily as thick. And beyond that, they if you actually had to do some erasing and scraping beforehand, so you're working, you're digging through. Right, and there could potentially be these holes. What exactly is the suffix that the Noda Bihuda is alluding to? So he's talking about the Beis Yosef. He kept saying because of the suffix in the Beis Yosef. I looked it up in the Beis Yosef, in the Noda Bihuda itself, which is on the source sheet, I think page 7. But he's referring to some line in the like a suffix in the Beis Yosef. So I looked through the Beis Yosef a bunch of times. I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. There was no question here in the Beis Yosef. Then I realized he's probably referring to Hilchos Tefillin. So if you I think page 6 in the source sheet, or 5, I think 5 or 6. So I put on the page from the Beis Yosef that he was alluding to. There. And the issue is Gemara Maseches Menachos, how to understand it, because in that Beis Yosef, so right in the it says the second really wide line where it says Vav Aleph Tuf V'im Tomar. He says V'im Tomar, and if you ask V'hechi Machshirinim B'ifsik Shum Os Benukva, how can we machshir anytime when there's a little bit of a hole? V'hamrinim b'hakomets, don't we learn in hakomets, Maseches Menachos, kol os she'ein gvil mukaf lami arba ruchuseh ha'psula. And it's not surrounded on all four sides by parchment, it's pasul. So v'yesh lomar d'lo itmar elo lifsol, no, we only pasul at hecha she'nidvak ba'os acheres, when it's touching another letter. Aval hecha de ifsak benufcha, but it's only just a tiny hole on one, only on one. Lo, it's not going to be a problem. Vahachi daik, where did he see this from? Vahachi daik lashon Rashi, plus Rashi shapeirus she'ein gvil mukafla shemeduvekes ba'os acheres. V'gabi ifsik vav diviyaharog, because the case of the, he learned out from Rashi that this idea that there's a little bit of a hole is not a problem unless it's touching another letter as well, because the example of the Gemara there is of a hole in the letter of Vav of Vayaharog. Right? Vav de Vayaharog. Benukva kasa Vav de Vayaharog. Right? Irav makum nekev. Masha b'shas ksiva paga b'nekev. Right? That the Vav doesn't go so far down because there's a hole part of the way down. So the Gemara wants to know, at what point, right, what do we call a short Vav? A Yud, right? So at what point does it shift from being a Vav to being a Yud? Right? So if there's a hole towards the bottom, so if it's still long enough, it could still be considered a Vav. That's what the Gemara says. So wait a second, Rashi says. Wait, if there's a hole, then it should be puzzle anyways, right? It should be puzzle because it's not makif gvil, because it's not being totally surrounded by parchment. So therefore, so he suggests two different answers here, and that then fills in what the Noda Behuda was talking about in the Fiske Tshuva. The Rashi says, either it's only a psul when it's being written, but once it was written already, bekasher, if a hole comes in later, we're not going to puzzle it, which is one of the things that Noda Behuda was talking about. Or B, it's only puzzle if it's a hole totally separating between two letters. But if you have a hole and then you have parchment and then you have the next letter, suggest him he should be okay. Now we're not sure which answer is the correct answer. So in Hilchos Tefillin, I think we're machmir for both. I put a page from the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin there. At the end of Tes Zayin, when you wrote it originally, v'nifzak bo o im regel hakaf hapshuta o kiyotzi ba magil l'sofa klaf b'li hekif klaf mitchilasel pasul. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin seems to paskin like the other opinion, right, that it has to do with the way it was originally, as opposed to the way it was in between. So as long as originally when it was written, it didn't have that hole, it would be sufficient, even though the hole came a little bit later on. So that is helpful for people who write and correct things, because sometimes just by correcting it, you could cause you could cause a hole. So you have this halacha here to rely on, even if there's a small hole connecting it, if so long as it came later. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Next week is the issue regarding the tagim and some other issues with regards to writing, and we'll see where we go from here. Yeah, there is we'll touch on it next week. But the Piskei Tshuva in Gimel actually talks about does a fact of a sofit, does that help you out, right? So you say im levavecha, that's not a word, but im levavecha, for example. But the mem has a mem sofit, so maybe you don't need as much space between the mem and the lamed because one of them is a sofit, and that indicates that it's a separate word, which perhaps could answer up why in the shachir he wrote im eno, right? So the mem is a mem sofit. All right, I'll stop here. Mr. Shem, pick up next week. Okay? All right.
Good night.
Good night.